Scripture is from Romans 6, verse 1 through 14. So what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? For our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin miserable life, no longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin conquering death, we also get included in his life saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother's tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under the old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Improving our lives through spiritual disciplines. Among others, some of the disciplines are communion, reading the Bible, in baptism. And today I'd like to talk about our baptism. Someone could logically question why I would include baptism in a list of disciplines, but by the United Methodist theology, baptism is a once-in-a-lifetime event. It's certainly not something you do as a daily habit, or as a weekly routine, or even as a monthly or annual ritual. I guess that's why I'm calling this sermon this morning not just baptism, but the reaffirming of our baptism. The reaffirmation of our baptism is an occasional ritual that is provided for us in our United Methodist hymnal. Something quite meaningful that we are going to do later in this service. But even more than that, reaffirmation of our baptism is something we can do often and even consistently throughout our lives. But why would we do that? What does baptism signify that is worthy of our regular attention? In what way does the discipline of reaffirming our baptism improve our lives? Like our original baptism itself, reaffirming our baptism improves our lives through belonging to a family of faith. Whether we were first baptized as a tiny baby, or we were baptized as a youth, or even as a full-grown adult, our original baptism signified an initiation into Christ's holy church. We were incorporated into the body of Christ. Much like the sacrament of Holy Communion, baptism connects us with the other people who believe and practice the Christian faith. There's a connection. Baptism is a kind of a wet glue that sticks us together and holds us in close spiritual community. Over the centuries of Christianity, there have been a lot of debate whether the church should baptize only youth or only adults, or whether it's good for parents to baptize their babies and small children. In the United Methodist Church, we see merit in both and allow for either one. When parents choose to bring their little ones for baptism, they are emphasizing this baptismal characteristic of belonging to a family of faith. The infant is not independent. The baby can't choose for him or herself. They can't select their family or their values or their beliefs. They can't determine where to go or what they do. They can't decide not to be part of what's happening. By virtue of being born, they belong. The same is true for baptism. By virtue of being baptized, a person immediately becomes a part of a family of faith. Rather than infancy or middle age, a newly baptized person instantly benefits from belonging to a caring, loving, faithful people who are committed to nurturing that new Christian in the ways of Christ. The discipline of reaffirming our baptism comes as we remember and rejoice regularly and constantly in this wonderful belonging. Some of you may be familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's in the bulletin, and I notice that you can't read that bottom line. But what that bottom line says is psychological. Then it goes to safety, love belongs, esteem, self-actuation. This was a person by the name of Maslow created this. He was a psychologist, and he created this based on our needs, and that there were five levels. The five levels psychologically contract. The psychological contract says that our most basic need to have to do with our bodies, the most basic needs do with our bodies, like food, shelter, and clothing. And then the second, as you'll see up the pyramid, of the greatest categories is for safety. That's kind of obvious in itself. And the third greatest of the five human needs is belonging. Before we can focus on needs of esteem and becoming our fullest spiritual selves, that's the ones higher up on the pyramid, we need the assurance that we belong. Every time we reaffirm our baptism, we remind ourselves that we are in a good place with good people. We are connected to a trustworthy community in which we can safely develop ourselves to our fullest potential. Reaffirming our baptism improves our lives through belonging to a family of faith. Belonging. The second way baptism and its reaffirmation improves our lives is through choosing to turn away from sin. This aspect of baptism is more obvious when a person is old enough to choose for him or herself. The theme song of the youth or the adult that's baptized could be, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." This conversion commitment is especially emotionally moving on the day of baptism. But even if we were baptized as a child, or when our baptism by choice was years before, we can recall that spiritual act and reaffirm daily our commitment to renew the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of our sins. The symbolism of baptism is that God washes us clean from our sins. So God certainly is a powerful agent in the baptismal event. The power of baptism also comes from our resolve and determination to drown sin to death and then rise up from the baptism waters to live a more holy life. After we get cleaned up, the point isn't to go out and roll around in the mud again. We have to want to stay clean. Baptism without a commitment to Christian living is no more than a magic trick doused in water. This is something that needs to be explained to parents or grandparents who want to have their little ones baptized. Part of the ritual for children's baptism asks the parents, "Will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church? That by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life." You remember that when you had your children baptized? How many of us have fallen short of that? Yeah. Part of our nature. And that's one of the reasons that brought me to want to do this morning, to reaffirm that baptism, to bring back to our minds the promise that we gave God. Now, we're old enough here that all of our children are growing up, but we still have the grandchildren. And our responsibilities in that affirmation of baptism falls on our grandchildren also. That we do just exactly this, that you nurture these children in Christ's holy church. Baptism doesn't mean much if you do it just for the sake of checking it off your list or for satisfying your relatives. For baptism to be effective, we have to choose to make baptism a reality in our hearts and our daily practice, our lives. And our children's lives are improved when we choose to turn away from sin, not only at the moment of baptism, but as a daily and lifelong spiritual discipline. The third way it improves our lives is through receiving God's help. All of us know, of course, our choices alone aren't enough to save us from the powers of evil that exist in our hearts and the world around us. To do that, we need God's divine power. That's why our baptismal liturgy also asks this question: do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form they present themselves? As Christians, we have a major role to play. But evil, injustice, and oppression are way too big for us to fight all by ourselves. That's why the baptismal ritual reminds us that God is eager to help us. If we are willing to receive God's assistance, God is more than eager and able to provide it for us. God is overjoyed and trustworthy to provide us freedom and power. Baptism and the reaffirmation of our baptism improves our lives by providing opportunities for us to receive God's strong help. Admitting that we need help is humbling for sure. But like they say in AA, we need a power greater than ourselves if we are going to conquer what ails us. We need not only to choose to change, but also to choose God to help us change. Sometimes when someone who says they're ready to turn their lives around, but they don't really have a plan how they're going to do that in a short time, their resolution and commitments go by the wayside. Lip service doesn't do it. You have to have a plan. You have to have a commitment. You have to be reminded of your baptism. You have to be reminded of your promise to God. You have to be reminded of the affirmation of that baptism. As Christians, our plan is receiving God's help. Of course, to do that, we have to make ourselves available to God through the sacraments. Some of the ways to make ourselves available to God is through Bible reading, through prayer, through church attendance, through Christian fellowship, through Christian missions. And this one I really like, and it's really hard, through self-denial. Now, these things that I just mentioned, Bible reading, how often do we shuffle that to the rear? Oh, I need to read the Bible, but I got to go get groceries first. But this or but that. How often do we truly pray rather than just recite words? Every one of us can recite the... I find myself saying the Lord's Prayer and thinking about whatever. Because it's so automatic, you can just rattle the words off. That's not prayer. That's lip service. How about church attendance? Well, we don't have to go to church this morning. It's nice weather. Let's go to the beach. Or we have to do this. Or we have to do that. I'll go to church next week. How about Christian fellowship? How many of us work at surrounding ourselves with fellow Christians? How many of us, the people that we do associate with, really truly know the person we call a friend, the level of their commitment to Christ? Or are they just a friend because they dress nice, or they look good, or they do what I want to do, or it's just easy? How about Christian missions? How many of us really, truly commit ourselves to the mission work that Christ has challenged us with? Just throwing money at it is good. But just being part of it is better. Just volunteering for whatever is awesome. And then this self-denial thing. How many of us, I want to show a hand, how many of us are really, really good at self-denial? Yeah, exactly. That's my point. And it's supposed to be that way. Because whatever is worth denying ourselves for is big. It has to be difficult. Because when we accept Christ, when we take on the task that He has asked us, when we live to the affirmation of our baptism, it is good. It is great, because it wasn't easy to get there. That's by design. Self-denial is a difficult thing, but it is a required thing. To deny ourselves to put Christ first. To deny ourselves to live what our baptism tells us is difficult. You see, those are the ways that God can fortify us for the struggles against sin. Without these, sin will just absorb us. Sin will just take us over. Sin will just lead us further and further and further away from God. Whether you're baptized or not. Water doesn't mean sick 'em. It's only a symbol of our promise to God. Receiving God's help isn't just a one-time baptismal event. Okay, I was baptized. That means my parents threw me, if I was baptized as an infant, my parents threw me, asked for God's help, so I'm good to go. Doesn't work that way. I'm not saying that we have to constantly reaffirm our baptism. Matter of fact, most churches, most denominations never do this. There was a wedding here yesterday afternoon, and a pastor from another church presided over that wedding. And he was having a conversation with somebody from this church, and they were talking about what we're going to do here this morning. He said, I have never heard of that. But he says, the more I think about it, that is a great idea. And I think he's going to contact me about this particular subject. And I'll bet you that he has a reaffirmation of baptism ceremony in his church before he gets done with it. It isn't required. Most United Methodist churches don't do this. I had never heard of it. But in one of my studies one week, as I was preparing for another message, this thing popped up. And it grabbed my attention. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, this is a really, really good thing. We need to be reminded of what our baptism means. Receiving God's help is a spiritual discipline that we should practice every day. A reaffirmation of baptism is an ongoing commitment to accept the strength God has available for us. We improve our lives by receiving God's help over and over again. So what I want you to hear today is that baptism is an opportunity to belong to a family of faith, to choose to turn away from sin, and to receive God's help. We will definitely improve our lives through a consistent and daily discipline of reaffirming these aspects of our baptism. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.